stand by.
This is Tanner and Drew's Donkey Show.
Yeah! Hi, kids. Thanks for checking out Tanner, Drew, and Laura's Donkey Show podcasto. I'm Tanner, Drew's there, Laura's here, obviously, and Buster S. Marcus is joining us. It's been a little bit since we've talked to you, Buster.
Yeah, I was out last week. Glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Were you out of town?
No, I just sent him a text message. He was like, oh, I forgot.
Oh.
Well, no, I didn't. I told you that shit kind of hit the fan for me at work, and I was not able to break away, remember?
No, maybe I forgot.
I thought, Tanner, yeah, aren't you always bragging about how you have such a good memory?
His long-term memory is amazing.
Oh. And last night I had a different gummy, and I felt it a little bit when I woke up this morning still. Like, I've had it before, but I haven't had it in a couple weeks. It was the Gateway gummies.
Oh, those are the best.
The ones that you're telling me about.
Gateway gummies.
The big ones. 100 milligrams. The 100 milligrams.
Mm-hmm. That'll take care of business.
I took that last night before bed.
The whole deal?
The whole thing.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't do that, but the guy who sells them does.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, do you have problems with panic attacks? Not with this gummy, but with another. I was like, no. He's like, okay, good. I ate the whole one, went to a Blazer game, and just crawled inside my sweatshirt. Okay. All right,
good to know.
I won't do exactly that.
No, I just need something.
But I think I can handle it.
I need something to put me to sleep, and that will keep me asleep, because I have a hard time waking up, especially if I take Benadryl.
Mm-hmm.
It'll put me to sleep, but then I always wake up at about 2:30, which is an hour before I get up, and I feel really refreshed, but I have another hour. And every time I take Benadryl, it happens that way.
That's interesting.
I wake up like an hour too early.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it puts me to sleep really good.
But it doesn't hold,
but it doesn't hold
to where
me
you
there.
Need it.
When I take like the gummies, I stay there.
I feel like usually that's the opposite. You take Benadryl and you wake up the next morning, and if anything, you're still groggy.
No, I wake up feeling like I'm ready to go.
Interesting.
It's very strange. And so you know, the gummies are better for me because I just want to stay asleep. You know what I
right.
mean?
Right.
Plus, yeah. there's such a miracle, like for the fact of not sleep, obviously, but what an edible does for a person's appetite who lacks an appetite, or like someone who has cancer or whatever.
Sure.
It's crazy. You could eat that edible, the daytime one, not the sleepy one, and you would probably be able to put back twice the food that you ever normally do. Most people would say, I don't want to do that, but if you can't eat, like
my mother had cancer. She had ovarian cancer and did not smoke weed. Was very upset that I smoked weed.
Mm-hmm.
And when she had the cancer and started going through the chemotherapy, it was so bad. She could not eat. She could not do anything. That she started eating edibles. She started smoking weed, and it helped her eat. You know, like that
and
was
allows you to fight,
and,
right?
And she could hold it down without vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the pot got her through the chemo.
It's interesting how many stories you hear like that. Like, people are so anti-marijuana. Absolutely not. Never in a million years. Don't want my kids doing it. But then they have first experience with, like, I have a friend who lived all over the place in the Midwest and the East Coast where weed was not legal, and her family was not supportive of it at all. And so she ended up moving to Colorado because she has fibromyalgia and all this, like, chronic nerve damage that just, like, cannot be treated. And doctors were telling her, you're making it up, your pain isn't real, all this stuff, because they couldn't figure out. But she started. She oh my god, the amount of edibles she eats and still functions.
You told me about this girl,
bonkers.
Right? You told me tell me how much she takes, because
like
it was an ungodly amount.
Yeah, she'll eat like a baggie of like cookies, like 300 milligrams, mm-hmm. easy, and she'll just like eat the whole thing and then like smoke out of a bong, a water bong, and then just like go on with her day. But like now her family was so anti all of that, and now they come to visit and just like buy her whatever she wants from the dispensary because it's the only thing that helps.
Yeah, it's actually heartbreaking, you know, the stigma. Like when my grandma was dying of cancer, and my mom has this story where, you know, she could not even sit up, but one time she got enough of an appetite. We're on their way to the beach once. She had a cold beer and a sandwich. And it's my mom's final memory of her mom being like mom.
Mm-hmm.
And like to look back on that and think that everybody was too stubborn or just didn't have the knowledge that if you just took something, I could have given her something that would have made her feel like that every single day.
Sure.
But because it was a stigma and she's religious and she's old, it just wasn't going to happen. and she was a nurse. Like, they don't believe in it.
Right.
It's heartbreaking.
It is.
She has one memory where it could have been 100. Mm-hmm. And maybe she could have fought, because the chemo is what kills you.
Right.
Yep. You know, my father-in-law, my late father-in-law, and I think we were working together in Eugene, guys, when this happened. He was diagnosed with terminal cancer and was gone within 3 months. It was very quick. And right at the end, once hospice was in the house and we were all over there, he hadn't eaten for days. And you know how all of your parents have that one friend that you're like, that guy smokes the Johnny Red Eye. Like, mm-hmm. I know that they do. When you were a kid, you just knew it.
Right.
Well, that family friend brought over a tray of brownies for Phil. He loves brownies. And he had one bite and the dude was eating eggs and Jell-O. I mean, it was like he just it turned into hometown buffet all of a sudden. Like, what can we bring you? And he ate, and it was the last time I feel like we really got to see the real Phil come out, because he was cracking a couple of jokes. And before that, he was immobile. I mean, he was not talking. He was just in pain. And the only thing they were doing was just pumping narcotics into him, trying to keep him comfortable. And one bite of a weed brownie turned his whole day around.
Yeah. And to say, like, these football players, like, you should take this bottle of pills. This is what you should take. You're going to say they should take that over, like, a joint?
Something that you cannot get addicted to? I mean, you can mentally get addicted, yes, but there's no physical addiction.
That's insane to me. That is insanity to me.
So how much of it do you think is just, like, not being educated about marijuana, and how much is it about money?
It's about money first. It's big business, and it is a big business to keep pot out of the driver's seat, because you look at the list of what it can fix, that all those pills go away, or all those pills get half the sale. That's not cool to a pharmaceutical company.
Right.
They don't give a shit about you or me or Tanner or Marcus. They just want to make some cash. And
I think
the stigma on the other side together.
I think a lot of it's just like the stigma, and then, you know, a lot of these people just need to die off, like you said yesterday, right? Like, people just need, some of these old timers just they're stuck in their ways. Like Jeff Sessions, when he was in office, he said, you know, good people don't smoke marijuana. Actually, smart people don't say things like that.
Right.
Because that is crazy. There are good people all over the country who smoke marijuana. And like, there's a family who lived in New Jersey. They had to move to Colorado.
Yeah.
Because their daughter was having like 200 something, hundreds of seizures a day.
That's Charlotte's Web, I think, right? They named the strain after her.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, and people don't just upend their lives and move across the country because they want to get
high. They
want
to get baked and eat chips.
Like, come on.
I would
wake up
in a second. If someone's like, Lucy can't get the care she wants or needs, you have to go to Idaho or whatever.
Zillow.com. Right. Let's see what's available.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I always tell this story because it's the one that touched me. I think kind of shook me the hardest when I was working in a dispensary. I had this lady walk in, and she was big, big lady, 300 plus pounds, and she could barely had a walker and would just inch in. And, you know, back in those days on the medical side of the dispensary, you came in by yourself. And so we turned all of our attention to you and helped you get your medicine and get you out the door discreetly. And this poor woman, she came in, she's like, I don't know what to do. I've got fibromyalgia. I've got this. I've got that. I do acupuncture, you guys, 3 times a day,
whoa,
morning, noon, and night, just so she can inch around.
Yeah.
And we talked to her for probably 45 minutes, and we got her one small square of chocolate. I think she spent $5. And she came back the next day, and then she came back the following day. And by the end of that week, she was walking with a cane. And the next week, she came in walking without any trouble.
Look at that. That's
amazing.
She told us, like, she's like, I think I'm this big because I can't move.
Sure.
Like, all I do is sit. And how can you keep that from people at the end of the day? And I think what Drew said about the pharmaceutical companies and the big money is that they will take advantage of the fact that there is a stigma, mm-hmm, all day, every day. And they push this negative propaganda. And that really is what it is. It's propaganda. It's, mm-hmm, garbage. And educate yourself. There's plenty of anecdotal and scientific evidence out there now.
And like
more than there ever has been.
And there are states where they believe more than evangelist could fix you than pot. That in itself, that someone could put a Bible on your forehead and fix your fibromyalgia.
And by the way, those people who like choose to pray over their kids instead of give them medicine, take their kids away.
It's criminal.
Lock them up.
Right.
Absolutely
psychos.
Criminal.
By the way, Not only does weed help with pain, like we've seen firsthand with my mother and, mm-hmm. and your relatives and things like this, yeah. it also helps you come harder, according to a new study.
Although, okay, I saw this same nice. Study and I was like, is this news? Like, I've known this for years.
Yeah, like when I was when I was a kid and I first started, like, you know, I was like 15 or something, 14 when I smoked weed for the first time or something mm-hmm. like that. And I remember I J-O'd.
Yeah.
And the first time I J-O'd stoned was the most intense feeling I'd ever experienced in my life yeah. at that time.
And I feel like it's not just the climax. It's everything before it. Like foreplay is
like
better.
It.
Like everything yeah. is better.
I think
like
that
it.
Also plays into your tolerance levels. You know, like Laura, you get stoned, you're like, bang.
That's
like,
true. That's
then
a good
I'm
point.
Like, what happened?
Yeah. I don't get you that know, way anymore.
Like that, I wouldn't do that.
That first time when it happened to me, you know, I haven't experienced that in a long time. But mm-hmm. I do.
But you know that feeling.
I do like it, and I think I usually do smoke a little bit before I. You know.
See,
crazy.
I think for a dude, though, if it's like, if say you're partying all day and then you, like, say you eat an edible or something, then you're still partying and then you guys are going to do it, that can play into, like, performance. Because now it's like, okay, oh, I got to reconcentrate. And, like, if you're kind of baked, like, it's not necessarily, like, sensory overload. Like, yeah. oh, we're getting naked. Like, I almost have to be like, hey, bro, you're naked. Like
a survey,
so there's a little more work.
Yeah.
A survey in 1984 found that 2/3 of participants reported better sex when weed was involved. More recent studies have examined how getting high before sex makes the experience better for some people and worse for others.
Interesting.
Other studies have found that cannabis use increases libido and raises the odds for a better orgasm. But there's not a lot of research into what as weed is an aphrodisiac.
I have a buddy who swears by his wife puts a drip of tincture on her bean before they do it.
Really?
And that it turns it up a notch.
I actually used to have...
There's
I don't
sexual
know.
Versions of the rubs.
Yeah, I want to say...
used lube before.
Yeah, me mm-hmm. too. And honestly, I didn't notice a difference.
It seemed a little weird for like it just to be now.
It seems like it may be just a gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing that's
they
just
could
a
say, we could sell this. And you think,
I mean, it could sit maybe at like...
Weirdos will put it on their genitals.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it did seem strange to me. And since I was beanless, I couldn't test it.
Yeah. This new study surveyed 811 participants ranging in age from 18 to 85 years old about their
85.
Sex and cannabis habits. 64% identified as women and 73% of all participants reported being in monogamous relationships. Over half said that they use cannabis daily, and 59% were already intentionally getting high before sex to make it better. Most smoked flower, but a few were into edibles, oils, or topical applications, like we were just saying.
Yeah.
And well, they're probably lumping vape pen with flower, because you know, all those other things were
well,
other
it,
kinds.
It said oil, so wouldn't that be part of that? Or
I just thought maybe that could be... Like that black oil, RSO oil we were talking about.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
You, like, put oils. Under your tongue. Yeah, that's true.
By the way, that so RSO oil.
Real comatose, you know?
Yeah, all the way.
I put it on an apple, and I didn't taste it at all, but it must be like when you take, we talked about this, it must be like when you take a fish pill or, you know, like a.
Bleh.
Because
yeah.
the
like
taste,
burp it up.
The next day I could taste it.
That's interesting.
It worked really well. It helped me sleep. It just tasted awful, and I'd rather not taste that again.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So I went the Gateway. Gummies.
Those are yummy.
More than 70% of the people in the study reported increased desire and orgasm intensity. And most who said they use cannabis before masturbating reported that it enhanced their pleasure during solo sex.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of silly?
I have to be honest with you guys about something. You know, I've been trying. That's a New Year's resolution. Be honest with yourself and your friends. I like to be all up my own ass about how I got into the cannabis industry because I wanted to help people. It was just this. It just made me jizz harder.
That sounds bad.
That's fair.
Good least career. It was great.
At least yeah, you're honest.
Most times it just happens in my jeans while I'm going to the car.
It's like, ooh, that was a weird.
Right back inside. I changed 3 times before I saw you guys yesterday.
Rubbed me funny.
Overall, cannabis use tends to have positive influence on perceived sexual functioning and satisfaction for individuals, despite gender or age. So even though they're 85 years old, they're still enjoying themselves. Oh, that's gross.
I still hope I'm getting fried chicken and getting laid when I'm in 85. Yeah. You know, just baked out of my mind and still thrusting.
I mean, show me one pharmaceutical, one drug in the world that has so many uses, and I would gladly hand you a $100 bill. There is no, right. There is nothing that even holds a candle.
Have you tried carfentanil, Drew? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Street fentanyl, I have not tried. So,
yeah,
I understand.
Hopefully it'll be legal coast to coast one day. But
yeah, when a no-brainer takes this long, it just makes you lose a little hope.
Marcus, do you think it will happen in our lifetime? Will we see it coast to coast? Legalization coast to coast?
I don't know about legalization. I think decriminalization comes first in a lot of places where you see it available medically.
Yeah. Yes.
And I do think that's something we see in our lifetime. You just hope one day that somebody has the balls enough to pull the trigger and change the federal scheduling. Because when that happens, all the states, they already get to make their own rules. And when you can transport it from state to state, I think that is kind of the catalyst. You make it all of a sudden not a federal crime for me to take an eighth to Idaho, and yep, people right. are going to take a lot more eighths to Idaho, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Idaho could chill. Let's just go ahead and say they could chill. Yeah, they could right chill on out.
They could calm down a little bit.
You could go sit on top of a mountain in that beautiful state and just be ripped, and you have no idea how much fun you would have.
Right.
One thing we didn't actually talk about today, well, we touched on it a little bit and we teased it, but we never actually paid it off, is the guy who had McDonald's delivered during a college basketball game last night.
It's so bold, right?
Now, I'm watching the video here, and I'm going, this guy really walked out onto the court, this delivery driver, with a bag and a drink in his hand.
Mm-hmm. Wait. He was a little confused, like he was trying to find him at first.
Yeah, like you don't see the basketball game going on, like you're feet away from the action.
And he had to talk his way through security. You can't get into a college basketball game without a ticket.
So what game was this?
It was, I don't have the actual teams. Loyola of Chicago is the bigger name of the two. They're smaller schools, but big enough to where one of them was in, Loyola of Chicago was in the NCAA tournament last year. Mm. So it's that big
okay.
of a deal.
Well, the second one is DUQ, DUQUES.
Oh, it's, they're in, it's like, I think it's in like Pittsburgh, right?
DeQuee.
I used to know how.
What is it, Marcus?
DeQueef? Oh, that's not it.
It's not DeQueef.
It's Duquesne.
Duquesne.
Yes. And Loyola of Chicago was the team that has the nun that follows it around, right? The super old lady.
She's like 95.
Well, the game was happening last night when it was interrupted by an Uber Eats delivery driver with a sack of McDonald's. He actually walked out onto the court during the game looking for his customer. A fan apparently ordered the food from their seat, asking them to deliver to the field house. Officials halted the game briefly, and the guy did get his food. The food was delivered. The play-by-play announcers they couldn't believe what they were seeing.
Oh,
and
bet.
We got an official's timeout, and somebody came on the floor on the far side looking for an Uber Eats delivery or something. There is carrying some McDonald's.
You can tell it's college because it sounds like shit.
Mm-hmm. And this is small-time college basketball.
Right.
On the far side looking for an Uber Eats delivery or something. There is carrying some McDonald's.
Oh, this has to be one of the all-time greats.
I'm actually not kidding.
No, this is the truth.
I think that's what's happening.
This guy's in the corner. Looked like was he going to deliver the McDonald's to somebody on the court?
I'm trying to get confirmation. Uber Eats, yes.
Maybe I'll put my hand up. I'm getting a little hungry. You can bring it over here.
Yeah, they do sound like crap.
The announcers showed a replay of the driver walking onto the court during the play.
So we saw the stoppage. The man was ushered. Let's see if we can see this. No, this is going to be the turnover in the
corner. There he is, in the corner. Like, yay.
Who's he delivering it to?
The ref. The ref said later. Give it to me later.
It looks like because he's right next to the ref. I mean, I'm blown away by the driver because your customer's in there, I wouldn't walk out onto the court.
It's like, sorry, you gave me a bad delivery instruction. I can't walk into an arena.
Yeah,
void.
Obviously the person is not playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you out there?
And so who was the person?
Yeah,
it was someone in the stands.
I thought it was somebody on that row. Wasn't it on like press row? Or am I wrong? I thought
it could have been on press row, but it was someone. It wasn't like a player or no.
Regardless,
but if they were working, that's the reason I ask is if they were working there. Don't you feel like a clown? Like, you're the reason.
Yeah, right.
And, like, I feel like if you give somebody...
Halt of the game for your cheeseburger.
If you give somebody the address of the building...
You're giving them specific directions.
Yeah, so the directions must have said, hey, I'm down on the floor, just come drop it off. Because if I'm an Uber Eats driver and I get to whatever arena this is and I walk in, I'm like, I don't, like, what?
Which is crazy that you know? Would even do that. Like, if I'm the Uber Eats driver, it's like, hey, you meet me at the front door. Or, you know,
right.
I'll be at the curb.
It's like when we get food here, we got to run downstairs. Yeah, it's not like they're coming into the studio.
When right. Jimmy John's gets here, we have to, because a lot of times the building's locked, so we either have to go all the way down to the front, mm-hmm. downstairs, three flights, or they come to the lobby, and we have to walk all the way out there.
You don't yeah. say, like, okay, shimmy your way through a locked door, get upstairs, pound on the door, talk your way in. I mean, as an Uber Eats driver, I'd be like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't still know if the guy's dumb or...
This guy just never fails. He's like, I
think he's the most dedicated Uber Eats driver really? Of all time.
Like, the customer will get their food.
This guy, yeah, somebody else hired this dude.
Yeah, if you go back into his history in the app that he works for, I guarantee you this guy has been slammed against a couple of walls by security just to get his 5-star rating.
But I mean, I bet his delivery time is just perfect.
I bet. And the stars, they're yeah. glimmering.
Probably got, if he doesn't have 5 stars, mm-hmm. there's a problem.
He's got so many stars, it looks like the sky in Texas.
So there you go. The video, we'll have that online here if it's not already. 1059thebrew.com. Click on Tanner, Drew, and Laura. It does make me want some McDonald's.
It does. Honestly, and if they were, like, you know, kicking me out for eating the Ron's, I'd be like, that was well worth it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Couple of TV tidbits. The Last of Us is shattering an HBO viewership record. It scored the largest ever growth for a drama from a premiere to episode 2. Warner Brothers and Nielsen report that it brought in 5.7 million viewers. That marks a 22% increase from last week's 4.7 million viewers.
Wow.
The word of mouth was crazy, though. I mean, it went from no one talking about it to everyone talking about it and coming up with a game plan on how to watch the episode.
Well, and that debut shattered records also.
Like, massive.
That was a big time debut. So the fact that they grew so much from episode 1 to 2 is also just like, that's crazy.
I can't wait to watch it. I think I'm going to start. I was going to wait 4 episodes, but the 3rd episode is Sunday. I'm just going to start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, 3 hours is pretty. And HBO gives you a hard hour. Yeah. You know, there's no commercials. It's not 44 minutes. It's a hard hour.
Yeah. And I'm guessing it'll probably go up exponentially again because this yeah. coming weekend, like say you're going to start this weekend. I got to watch 7 hours of NFL football on Sunday. And then next Sunday is the first week in 17 weeks that there's no sports.
That's a good point.
So what are people going to do? They're going to watch Hobo all damn day.
Have you seen it yet, Marcus?
Yes, we've watched both episodes. It's so good. And I didn't even play the game. I've got some friends that are giant fans of this video game franchise. And I've just been looking at some videos online and some, you know, pictures side by sides from the game and the series. It's a shot-for-shot remake
That's
so
great.
Far.
That's
like,
great.
It's amazing how accurate it is and how well done it is.
That's fantastic.
And HBO, just a really cool story, too. Different take on the same thing, you know?
They dump money into their projects. That's why I really, you know, when HBO picks up a show, I'm like, okay. Especially if it's sci-fi or some sort of fantasy, I'm, like, interested because they'll do it right. It's not like fucking Vikings or something.
Went up $1 a month just when this got announced, so let's hope it's good. Right.
That's probably why.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, shit, season 2 is going to be even more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, nobody pays me for these opinions, but one thing I think that all TV can learn from this right here is when you approach this like a video game and you don't give us an entire season or 2 seasons to build the big story, this shoves you, like, everything's fine for like the first little bit, and then all of a sudden somebody pushes you with 2 hands in the back into a pool and you're just surrounded. And it's so intriguing to me that they do that. It works like a video game. You wouldn't want a video game to spend the first 20 hours of the story just building it, and then finally you get to do something. This starts right at the first episode and
awesome.
Is fabulous. You Great. Guys are really going to like it.
I'm excited. I'm going to start this weekend, The Last of Us on HBO and HBO Max.
Is it something that somebody who doesn't like game?
From what I understand,
That's
you can play
question.
The you can watch the
no
show.
No idea about it.
Yeah, because I haven't played the game either. I have it, but I haven't played it.
But I don't like enjoy
video
games. I think
like the
that,
whole
you know?
Idea is that if you didn't play the game or even like video games, you can enjoy the
okay.
show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no button prompts that come up in the middle of it where you have to like press B to go forward.
A, B, B, A.
No puzzles you got to figure out to get to the next level, like God of War, which mm-hmm. is very frustrating.
Yeah, days on the same level.
Speaking of television, Marcus, I'm sure you heard that the co-creator and voice actor for Rick and Morty was let go yesterday. They fired him. Adult Swim cut ties with the show's co-creator, Justin Roiland, due to his domestic violence charges. Hulu has also dropped him. He's also lost 2 other jobs because Hulu also dropped him from a series that he was going to do with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he
must have done something bad.
He lost 2 gigs, 3 gigs because of this.
Yo.
He lost Rick and Morty and then these two other jobs.
Yep. And Rick and Morty's going to keep going on, I hear, which I don't know, man. I'm a little nervous about it. He does both Rick and Morty's voices.
And I
think that Morty can be replicated. I can even kind of do a Morty. It's the Rick that is the tough one because he actually drinks light beer and burps his way through some of those lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Court seemed to think that there were enough super fans out there who could do the voice well enough that it wouldn't be an issue finding somebody else.
I mean, sure, I feel like you could do the voice. Like, there are a lot of people out there who could do Peter Griffin.
Sure.
But Seth MacFarlane's comedic delivery is just fucking uncanny.
And the group chemistry, everything. You're used to bouncing off these people. It's like saying, a little different, but like, oh, yeah, Tanner just died in a car accident, but we found a guy who talks just like him. It's not the same. It's not the same chemistry.
The soul,
right?
Like, yeah, I feel like just the soul of it's gone. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, he's, you'll find somebody else to do the voice, and then they've got a great writing team, but the soul of it's gone.
Well, yeah, and like just, to the average Joe, they might not be able to tell the difference, but people who religiously watch the show, they're going to pick up on those subtle differences.
I think they will, because like, I can tell the difference between the Affleck duck's voice, like when he was Gilbert Gottfried. I could tell the difference when it was him and when they got the new guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even though they tried to match it, it's like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, they did the same thing with the Mucinex booger.
Yep, and you know what else they did it with? They tried to switch Aunt Viv, and I picked that one out day one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are an observant fella.
Yeah, everyone saw that one, Marcus.
They were about as far from identical as possible. I don't even know why they didn't even try.
Yeah, they didn't. Game of Thrones did that too. Like
Aunt Viv died, you guys. I'm sorry, but Aunt Viv got hit by a car at the end of last season. She's not coming.
Wouldn't that be crazy if they did something like that? Yeah, and then like Uncle Phil got remarried.
Yeah, to this other
lady.
That
would have been great.
Continue. You could add stepmom vibes.
That might have been too much for the early 90s, though.
And they already had a brokenish home. Like you already took in this hip hop Philadelphia kid. Maybe they just thought that would.
The story was about Will. It wasn't about Uncle Phil.
Or Aunt Viv. Even though I did love Uncle Phil. I loved to hate him kind of when I was a kid. You know, like he reminded me of my dad because he was all
party pooper.
He was all stern, but then he had this little soft streak in him.
I always loved Jeffrey.
Remember when he spoke that guy at the pool hall that was hustling Will? I was like, Uncle Phil's a badass.
Because
I remember that episode. Yeah.
You always thought Uncle Phil was going to like turn against Will, but then whenever he was in real trouble,
he got behind
and
him.
He needed a dad.
He had his back. Aww. He had his back. Didn't he died, right?
Yeah,
Uncle Phil
did.
Passed away. May he rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
He was great.
So I don't know how they're going to continue the show. I think they have a lot of episodes to finish.
Didn't they say four more seasons?
A lot of episodes.
Like, yeah.
So, his trial starts on April 27th, so we'll see what happens.
Seems like they already judge, jury, and executioner'd him because he's been fired.
God, this thing's been going on forever. He pleaded not guilty in 2020 and appeared in court this month.
So that's what court was talking about yesterday when he was like, they kind of didn't pull the trigger until the media got involved.
Yeah.
2 years.
It's been going
on
for a while. That means they've done an investigation and it must have been bad.
Right.
I bet that independent look did not shine.
What did he? I mean, I know it's domestic violence, but what happened?
I mean, all you got to do is shove someone.
You know, those court documents get sealed sometimes in cases like this until they go to trial. And then once trial happens, right, that's public.
Mm. Yeah. So I learned a lot about that actually when they arrested the suspected Idaho killer.
Yeah.
Because we learned once the affidavit was released, once he was arrested and had to go and speak to a judge for the first time, that's when all that stuff came out. We're like, oh, he was stalking them and showed up to the house a couple nights before and all sorts of shit.
I think we're really lucky too that the media didn't pop off and be like, and some of them did, but people were pretty respectful of the police and like their due process. And to find out later that from the very beginning,
they were
closing it down.
Yeah. Because everyone's like, is this good police work? They said they haven't found a lead. Can you believe that?
For a long time, it was like, I can't believe they have no idea who this person
might
be.
They were on to him within 2 weeks of the murders. Yeah. They were on to that dude.
Some internet gumshoes like, well, I would have, you wouldn't.
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy.
It's funny. I think police work in small towns gets a little bit of a bad rap because of how popular true crime has become. Because you do listen to some of these and they're like, well, we talked to him and he said he wasn't sad that day. So we ruled him out as the murderer.
Right.
And
then
you find out that he's killed 22 people or something. So I understand the skepticism behind it, but I thought they did a great job keeping that stuff secret.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Real quick, and I know we're kind of bouncing around here, but this fungus expert says that The Last of Us could actually happen.
Oh, what?
No, I haven't seen the show, but I did hear some stuff about this. So in the hit series, The Last of Us, humanity experiences a fungus that infects billions of people, turning them into zombies. Matt Kaysen is an associate professor of mycology. Am I saying that right?
I have no idea.
Mycology. Mycology.
Yeah. Okay.
Studying fungi. He says the type of fungus actually exists in the insect world.
Oh.
Invading their brains and turning them into zombies, basically.
And it's called the cordyceps virus.
Hello, Marcus. I don't think Marcus can hear this audio.
Sorry.
18 seconds, my friend. Hang on.
And in the insect world, it certainly is. Ants have a fungus that does this. The cicadas have a fungus that does this. It's a puppet master that's pulling the strings of its insect host. It's happening right below our feet, and it's been happening in along our hiking paths and in our gardens for a long time.
Wow. In the series, the fungus jumps from insects to humans, which he says is unlikely but possible.
In a wetter, warmer world, we're seeing higher incidence of fungal infections.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how worried should we be about this happening to us?
A 2 or a 1.
So he says, Marcus, if you missed it, we should only be worried about a 2 or a 1, because, in other words, there's nothing
to
be worried about.
It's highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, after I watched the show, I kind of went down a rabbit hole on this virus a little bit, because it is really interesting. And what I could discern from everything that I read is that our immune systems basically squash this thing out before it ever gets past the starting line.
Mm.
And that's why it can take over things like ants, you know. But I mean, listen, when you watch the show, your skin's going to crawl a little bit. And I think that's the best part about it.
God, maybe I'll start tonight. I don't know. I really can't wait to start the show.
This whole time I thought I just had athlete's foot, but maybe it's zombie
yeah,
hoof. Right?
Huh. Yeah, you got zombie hoof. That's the actual medical term.
It is.
I believe.
It's zombie hoof.
It's clinical.
Are you suffering from zombie hoof?
Get some Mycotin!
But in the trailer, they show a couple of shots of the zombies, and they look different. They look different.
What do they look like?
Like, it looked like one zombie looked like its brain was swollen and was coming out of its head.
Oh.
So like an infection almost within the zombie?
Think about it like a mushroom. It basically infects you, and then it starts to come out of every place that it can come out of to try to spread itself. Okay,
so it's just like a fungus. It's shooting its spores.
Gross.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Some of the zombies that haven't been infected very long look just kind of like normal zombies, and then other ones will have these big protruding things, and they call them clickers. They make a little click.
Maybe wait for next week.
They can't see. They can only hear you.
Yeah.
So that's but one of the things I love about it is just a little thing that doesn't give anything away. When these zombies are, they're uncoordinated, like if an animal was chasing you through like a house.
They buffalo a little bit.
They don't see tables. They don't see furniture and stuff like that. They just kind of crash.
I like that. I like that. I like zombies too. And they're fast, and they're clumsy, and they bump into shit. They kind of like in the movie with Jim from The Office, those two alien movies.
Oh, the ones about the
noise?
A Quiet Place?
A Quiet Place. So the aliens in that movie are the same. They're just big brutes, and they just knock shit over, and they bust things down. And I love it when zombies do that, too. Like, the movie sucked, but the movie World War Z, when they're all like, there's so many zombies that they become one organism, and they can make a wall and climb up a wall, you know, somewhere, and like a building or something.
I do love that idea, though, where the zombie has a disability almost, right? So it gives you an opportunity to survive. Mm. Like when it buffaloes, now you can olay a zombie, right? Like if it could just fight me straight on, I couldn't just step out of the way. So there's a lot of fun, maybe slapsticky things amongst the chaos.
Yeah, they kind of do that in Zombieland too, right? Like in the Zombieland, there's different levels of zombies.
Yeah, and some are almost handicapped, and some are like a smart zombie, and anything in the middle.
That's cool, man. And I don't know how far or how much he's in the show, but Ron Swanson's on it. I know that's not his real name, but
I love him.
But I love that guy. I'm forgetting his name right now.
What is his name?
I just saw it the other day. I'll know it as soon as I hear it. I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, that's it.
Ron Swanson.
I'm only looking it up because he does deserve to have a real name.
I see his face.
Real name. Oh, I'm glad I got his children. Nick Offerman.
That's right. Oh, my goodness.
I could have named Ron Swanson's kids, not Nick Offerman.
Yeah, Nick Offerman's on the show. So we've only seen two episodes. Have you seen him yet?
No.
Okay. Yeah, because I have a feeling Based on the trailer, is like he's not a main character.
Mm-hmm. Well, does he play like a character? Is he a cameo like in Game of Thrones? Like they threw Ed Sheeran in there one day and nobody knew it was him.
Yeah, but he looks like he's a survivor because he's got a beard and looks like he had a shotgun in his hand. He's one of the last of us.
Yeah.
He's one of the last.
And I bet he's got a funny liner too.
Yeah. So, all right, The Last of Us, that's on HBO. We will see you tomorrow. Big show tomorrow.
Boom.
And it was good talking to you, Marcus. We missed you, brother.
Yeah. Good to be back. Thank you, guys. I always enjoy it. This is one of my favorite parts of the week.
Are you going to be available on February 14th for Bacon and Beer?
Valentine's Day.
Not sure. What day of the week is that?
It's a Tuesday.
I'll see if I can make it work. I'm not sure. We normally record on Tuesdays, so it might be kind of tough, but I'll see what I can do for sure.
Marcus got a podcast gig, so
we'll keep your Valentine in its envelope.
Yeah, but you don't come. Unless you make a sparkly glittered box that I get to put an envelope in, I don't want to see you.
Tanner, stop talking about your sparkly glitter box. Nobody's putting anything in that thing.
I need it. I need you to put it in my box. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you.
And on that note,
you've been listening to Tanner and Drew's Donkey Show, heard daily at 105.9thebrew.com.